The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Injury Show. This is the Champions of the People Injury Show. We are injury attorneys. Brad Pollock, I'm Gary Bell. We've had over 30 years of experience each, helping injured victims, helping their families, helping them put their lives back together again. And you know what? We started years ago saying to ourselves, people don't know what these rules are. They don't know what the rules of the road are with regard to being in an accident and injured, and we got to tell them. And we've been doing these radio shows for a long time. Welcome to this show in KOA. We're here for you. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. We have all our information there, all of our podcasts there, special features, and 6 books are published, and they're there. And you can download any book free, an e-copy of any book of our books. Our most recent book is The Definitive Guideline on Colorado Car Insurance. Everything you wanted to know is right there. And by the way, that book, Colorado Car Insurance, if you want a hard copy of any of our books, call our law firm or call 303-795-5900. We'll send you a hard copy. But by the way, that book has examples in it of insurance policies, insurance deck sheets, gives you simple explanations, easy to follow. There's arrows pointing to the important parts of the policy and the deck sheet, what you should consider doing and not consider doing. And it's a very valuable insight, and you can have it. And if you have any questions about insurance policies, you can just give us a call. And we'll be glad to help you. We do it every week. Okay, today we're talking about bad faith insurance practices. What does that mean? Bad faith insurance practices. There are certain laws in this state, all states now across the country, that regulate and define the conduct of insurance companies. For a long, long time, you, the consumer, you, the injured victim, didn't have much choice or power to deal with these insurance companies, but that playing field has changed. And there are now common law bad faith causes of action and statutory bad faith causes of action. So let's just talk a little bit about bad faith is about, explain it, and then we're going to get down to our typical car accident concept.
You know, it's kind of a shame that you have to have laws dealing with bad faith for insurance companies. You start out with a contract for insurance where you're supposed to be protected. The insurance company tells you they're going to protect you. They tell you they'll cover it. They'll tell you they'll take care of it. They'll tell you you have protection. The sales agents will talk to you so much about how much you need this protection to make sure you don't lose everything by one mistake, or you don't lose everything as a result of the mistake of a child or somebody else. And we have all these promises, and they all these sales pitches that are given to you on TV and are given to you everywhere else, trying to tell you what a great deal it is. And then what happens? What happens is when you get your in your crash, or when something happens, you find that the insurance company is anything but acting in good faith. As a matter of fact, they could care less about you. Still, to this day, we haven't gone as far as we need to in protecting people against bad faith, because we do nothing to protect people against the insurance companies taking up your time and causing you to undergo the rigors of a lawsuit. At the same time, they don't talk to you. They tell us as plaintiff's lawyers they talk to you. They tell us as plaintiff's lawyers is what you want and what you don't want. But they don't appropriately talk to you. They don't appropriately advise you. And so what you get into is a situation where, unfortunately, laws had to be passed. We have a developed case law that addresses it. We've had to go back to the contracts and show where it's a breach of contract. You just have to understand that the worst thing that you have to do in this industry is deal with the bad faith of insurance companies, which you can just about bet is happening every day, Gary. I'd have to say it's happening more than every day. It's happening multiple times every day.
Right. There's all kinds of lawsuits across the state on these matters all the time. And so, you know, in the beginning, talking about the law, the pure law in the situation, you enter into an insurance program with an insurance company. That's a contract. You have a contract. You pay them a premium, they give you coverage, and they draft the policy, right? You've never been able to change the words of the policy. So one basic legal concept is you have a contract, and if they don't live up to the terms of the contract, they breach the contract, okay? And so we say, well, that ought to be good enough, and the damages on breach of contract are basically what you were expected to get, what you should get, and what you actually got, the difference between those two concepts. And you say, that ought to be good enough. Well, no, it's not good enough. And many times they do these, they perform these actions intentionally. They don't pay benefits. They reduce them. They minimize them. And this what we're talking about today, we use a typical car accident, and you've been injured in a car accident and dealing with it. But it can also apply to your house, dealing with your own insurance company. But I want to set the framework and the picture. So we have a typical car accident. Let's say you're in your car, you're rear-ended at a stoplight, and now you're injured. So what we're talking about today does not pertain to the insurance company for the at-fault party, the one who hits you, because that's called third-party liability cases, and that insurance company for the at-fault party owes you no duties or obligations. They're there to beat you, which we preach all the time. Now, what we're talking about today is you're in the accident. You try to make a claim with the at-fault party's insurance company, and let's say they pay you. You resolve that claim, and now you're going to make a UM or UIM claim, or a MedPay claim with your own car insurance company. That's what we're talking about today. Your relationship with your own car insurance company. Now, that relationship changes. That insurance company owes you duties because they're your insurance company, and you also owe them duties, so that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Right, and stop and think about it. As we've said now a couple of times in this segment, you enter into a contract with that insurance company where you agree to pay them money so that they will protect you. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They protect you from being made subject to losing your assets or losing your income or having other restrictions put on you or having to file bankruptcy. You enter into this contract so that they can protect you against those efforts that can be made by the injured party. Now, when you start going through it, you stop to think that, yes, we do have a law that says 25-50, and there is a large number of people out there that carry 25-50, and maybe they sign up just because it's the law, just because they have to. But as people start getting more and more into a situation where they have assets, where they have a home, where they have a car, where they have a bank account, where they have some stocks, where they have property, where they have different items that are value to them, they start realizing, I need insurance to cover me, to protect me in case I or someone else in my household makes a mistake. And I need to have insurance that will pay every bit as much as why you have health insurance in case you get sick, and every bit as much as why you have life insurance to make sure there's money left for your loved ones in the event you die. So you get this insurance, and you expect the insurance company from whom you're buying the insurance and who you're paying the premium. You pay the premium. You expect them to be there to help you and to protect you, and to put your interests paramount to anything else in the event you make a mistake.
Right. You can give us a call anytime at 303-795-5900, 795-5900. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Okay, let's give you an example. Suppose you're in this accident, you're rear-ended in this accident, and by this car, and let's say they do have insurance. This would apply even if they didn't have insurance, but let's say they have insurance, and it's the minimum statutory minimum of $25,000, right? Let's say your medical bills they're at $60,000, and that doesn't count your other damages, injuries, losses. It doesn't count the anatomical injuries. It doesn't count the orthopedic injuries. It doesn't count the concussion. Let's just say your medical bills are $60,000, and the liability policy is for the person who hits you is $25,000. There's not enough money there. So you collect the $25,000, and then you go make the claim, your UIM claim, underinsured motorist claim, with your own car insurance company. And so then that's the fight starts. That's when they owe you duties and obligations. So then let's say, Brad, that you make the claim, the UIM claim, with your own car insurance company for the $60,000 and the rest of your injuries, damages, and losses, and they say, okay, we're going to pay you $15,000. Total for everything, and you say, wait a minute, 15 plus the 25, that's $40,000. That doesn't cover even my medical bills of $60,000. This is what we're talking about today. They start to enter into bad faith insurance practices with you. They start to breach their duties, and so let's just talk about that a second.
Right, and that's what they're going to do, and then they're going to try to talk about standards within the contract. on what they have to pay. And, you know, standard of the contract is something that has to be looked at. The first thing you have to do is go to the contract. And they, you know, most good lawyers, when you start to say, I have a, my insurance company won't pay me on my underinsured motors or uninsured motors coverage, most good lawyers are going to say, we need to see a copy of your contract. We need to see a copy of the policy. We need to see a copy of the deck page. We need to see exactly what your protections are. I think I say this every single show, and I'm going to say it again right now in this segment so everybody understands. None of this counts if you waive your UIM. None of it counts. You cannot waive your uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage. You must have it. None of this counts if you waive MedPay. If you waive these basic protections and basic coverages, you're going to be in a world of hurt when next time you're in a crash and the person that hits you doesn't have insurance or doesn't have enough insurance. So once you have it, and assuming you have it, now we start talking about what does it say it covers and how does it cover you and how much is it going to cover? And do you have an adjuster who's going to properly and fairly adjust how much you're entitled to as a result of the injuries that were inflicted on you?
Right. And how do you tell this? I mean, what do you do with all this information? You've been injured. You collected the $25,000 from your own insurance. I mean, from the liability insurance company. Now you want to collect from your own insurance company and they don't want to pay you, or they want to delay you, or deny part of it and pay part of it, or lowball it. And so what do you do? What do you actually do? How does this come together? And how do you find these so-called standards that your insurance company is supposed to live up to? How do you find them? What do you do with them? And how does that help you, the injured victim? Because as Brad said, you must first have the coverage. And when you do, then you need to know what the standards are. So next up, we're going to be talking about these standards and what it means for you as an injured victim to make them comply. Bell and Pollock will be right back.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell & Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell & Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is Your Legal Minute. Today, we're talking about MedPay. What is MedPay, by the way? MedPay is on your own car insurance policy. It's there to pay your medical bills in case you're injured in a car crash, a collision. It's there to pay your medical bills, your reasonable and necessary medical bills, and they pay your medical bills regardless of fault. Therefore, you want your med pay as high as you can afford, by the highest limits you can get. We say this all the time. And by the way, if the accident is not your fault and you recover money from the at-fault party, then you don't have to pay the med pay back. That's how important this is. Gary Bell, Bell & Pollock, champions of the people. Give us a call. We'll help you.
Bell & Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Injury Show. It's the Champions of the People Injury Show. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. Championsofthepeople.com. And our telephone number is 303-795-5900. This is the only show of its kind. We are an injury attorney. And Brad and I both have over 30 years of experience helping injured victims heal their wounds, get paid, get legitimate compensation from the insurance company, and go on with your lives and put your lives back together again. We can do it for you. If you come see us, we'll give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. We think that concept is so important, we trademark protected it, and we wrote a book entitled Legal Game Plan. Face it, the insurance company has a game plan or strategy against you, to beat you and defeat your claim. And so you can get our free book, Legal Game Plan, on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, our example today that we were talking about, you're rear-ended, you're sitting at a stoplight, you're rear-ended, and the person who hits you only has the minimum $25,000 of coverage. You collect the $25,000, your medical bills alone are $60,000 and growing and ongoing and increasing. And so you go to collect the remaining part over and above the $25,000 from your own car insurance company under the UIM, underinsured motorist protection, right? We've preached on this for years. So you go to collect it, and so they say we're going to pay an extra $15,000. So 25 plus 15, that's 40 grand. You say, wait a minute, that doesn't even count cover my medical bills. And they say, well, that's it. Take it or leave it. So what are these standards? What are these duties these insurance companies owe to you? Now, we're talking about your insurance company in this show, not the other person's insurance company, your own car insurance company. And they have certain duties and obligations, and they can't just ignore you. One of the strongest duties is they can't give you legal and or medical opinions. They can't read your medical records, for example, when you make the claim and say, well, you know, you really don't have a situation that requires a discectomy, or you don't really have a facet joint injury, or you don't really have an atlantoaxial injury. That's a medical opinion. They're not qualified. And when they do that, they step outside the bounds. So that's one of the parameters and standards we're talking about, right? So the adjuster you're dealing with your own car insurance company that you want to get paid has duties. Another one is they have to promptly investigate the claims. Promptly. I mean, I've seen cases where they don't even get around to it for 2 months, 3 months, 3.5 months. And when they do, they don't thoroughly investigate the claim. So then you're going to start to kick in the bad faith laws, which is what we're talking about today.
Right. Now, when we do this and when you're involved in this kind of situation, once again, this is where you need to have your legal game plan. You have to understand what your game plan is. This is where you have to look at your contract. This is where you have to look at the information. Because any contract of insurance you have is going to require that in your first party claim, and when you hear those are specific words, first party claim, in your claim against your own insurance company, it's important that you understand you have to cooperate with them. So you need to make sure that you're cooperating with them. You need to make sure that you're doing the things that are required of you. But then at that point, they have certain requirements. The insurance company will continue to have certain requirements throughout the entire time that they are adjusting your claim. They cannot misrepresent facts or insurance policy provisions relating to coverage. Watch out for that. And if you don't think that happens, once again, you need to spend a little time just looking and seeing what we live with on an everyday world when we're dealing with insurance adjusters and attorneys who will misrepresent what the contract calls for. They'll misrepresent what the coverage is. They'll misrepresent how the coverage should be provided. They'll misrepresent whether or not you're even covered. You need to make sure that you have a look at this and you have an experienced attorney taking a look at it. The next thing is, do they fail to acknowledge or act reasonably, promptly, upon communications with respect to claims arising under the insurance policy? Are they acting promptly in communicating with you and getting back to you on your communications? Now, they're going to try, they always try, to make this door swing both ways. So when they make a door swing both ways, you've got to be prompt in getting back to them once you're in this stage of communications. Once again, you know, if any of you are involved in this or get involved in it, first question you ask your attorney if they pick up the phone and talk to the adjuster. And if they say yes, you might think about getting a different attorney. You know, it's that simple. Because yes, the attorney should respond promptly to communications, but that prompt response should normally be in writing.
Right. And, you know, and that point Brad is making there is the insurance companies try to make your attorney a witness in the case and try to make them disqualified from representing you. So you have to know the rules of the road. We're talking about the standards the insurance company, your own car insurance company, has to adhere to and comply with to adjust your injury claim once you've been injured and there's not enough insurance from the at-fault party's insurance company. Our example is $25,000 of liability coverage. You collect that from the at-fault party's insurance company. And then you make a claim, and your medical bills are $60,000. We can't cover every standard they're required to comply with. Just to understand, they owe you duties and obligations. The Colorado Supreme Court has defined it basically as a quasi-fiduciary obligation and relationship between you and your insurance company. Quasi-fiduciary has a lot of ins and outs and meanings, but understand, just know the simple rules. They owe you duties. They owe you obligation. They have obligations to you. They're supposed to comply. Now, we have common law bad faith. That's what we're talking about. We have statutory bad faith. Those are the two broad stroke characteristics and categories. Common law bad faith has a little bit more stringent requirements proof-wise against your insurance company, but you need to know they're there. When we get to the statutory bad faith, which is a statute passed within the past 6-7 years, it provides easier, not easy, but easier and more lenient standards of proof against the insurance company, which they don't like a lot. So the common law bad faith, you have to be able to prove that they acted unreasonably And either they didn't care what their position was, didn't care, didn't investigate it enough, didn't care to even look or call witnesses or talk to doctors or get medical records, and or they acted recklessly with regard to your claim. That was a little bit tougher standard of proof. Brad, let's talk about the statutory bad faith, which was a statute passed in Colorado. We commonly call it as the statutory bad faith or two-time statute, and that's very important.
Sure. The two-time statute is very important because it has some teeth to the fact that they act in bad faith. And it, you know, first of all, the statutory scheme is pretty simple. It identifies for you certain practices that the insurance company must carry out, certain practices the insurance company can't violate, certain practices the insurance company has to follow. Once again, if you're sitting out there wondering, like I did when I first saw all of this, is why do we have to have these practices laid out as far as what exactly the insurance company should or shouldn't do, or how they should be carrying out their practices, or how they should be adjusting a claim, or what they should be doing, and how are they acting in bad faith? And you're saying, shouldn't the insurance industry just be taking care of that and not giving you that kind of problem? And the answer is, I'm sorry to tell you, no, the insurance company's not going to do that. Now, you also have unwritten standards, and we can talk about both sides of that, but we get certain written standards. And one of the places we can look is the Unfair Claims Settlement Practices Act. Yes, we have one in Colorado that identifies certain requirements and certain things the insurance company should do. You know, for instance, does the insurance company, has it adopted and implement reasonable standards for the prompt investigation of your claim? Is it going to investigate your claim promptly? Does it have practices? Does it have procedures to do that? Is it going to refuse to pay claims without conducting a reasonable investigation? And that's a lot what Gary's talking about in his example. Okay, wait a minute. I have $65,000 in medical bills. They gave me $25,000. You want to give me $15,000. That takes me to $40,000. I'm $25,000 short to even pay my medical bills. That doesn't talk about that my inconvenience, my non-economic damages. That doesn't talk about my loss of time from work. It doesn't talk about future medicals. This is just the basic dollars that are sitting there in the medical bills. And, you know, okay, did you conduct a reasonable investigation? What did you do to determine why I should only get this extra $15,000 when we realize that I've been paying a premium for $100,000 of uninsured motorist coverage? I should have $100,000 of coverage, not $15,000.
Right, and then when they say they're not going to pay you, they're just not going to pay you, take it or leave it. Okay, so then that's where the bad faith laws kick in. And you have common law bad faith, which I just covered, a little bit stricter standard of proof, but you also have statutory bad faith. So keep that in mind. Common law is the law we inherited from England and came over to this country. Common law is case law. Case law, it's not statutory law. Statutory law comes from the legislature. So both laws apply to these insurance companies, common law bad faith. We have to basically prove that they knew something, they disregarded it, and it was reckless on one element of the proof. They intentionally disregarded certain facts, a little bit harder standard of proof. However, on the statutory bad faith, and I want you to pay attention to this very carefully, you got to be able to prove that they denied or delayed your payment. And you're thinking, well, okay, that's a little bit easier. I can see that. They denied or delayed your payment, and the denial or delay or denial was not reasonable. There's your standard of proof. There's your requirements. They delayed or denied your payment and it wasn't reasonable. And that's why they don't like the statute so much. And now it's called statutory bad faith. But you need an experienced attorney. And we're just covering the tip of the iceberg today on bad faith. But you have common law bad faith. You have the statutory bad faith. And you need to have your attorney know these laws. I know what these insurance companies do with them. And what do you discover? What do you go after when they won't pay you? Because in the example, you're way upside down. They didn't pay your medical bills, and you still have damages, injury, and losses. And you bought an insurance policy for $100,000. And you thought they were going to pay you because you paid your premium. And I've heard people tell me, I've been with this company for 26 years, 15 years, 34 years, and they're not going to pay me. They're not even going to pay my medical bills. And I didn't create these medical bills. I didn't cause these medical bills. I didn't cause these injuries. And they should pay. So enter stage right, the concepts of insurance bad faith, common law bad faith, statutory bad faith. Next up, we're going to be talking about how this actually applies to your injury claim and to your MedPay claim. Bell and Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.